Blog Talk Radio.
Given a set of circumstances and evidence in this universe, we do need devotion. My name is Yom Suf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show, a show that is designed and dedicated to give the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, all the praises, thanksgiving, and honor that he deserved, and to get a study into him as to the who, what, when, where, and how you may approach him, and your relationship in dealing with him, and how he responds and so on, and also in relationship with one another, and with strangers, meaning different nations. But before we get started, you know, if you have been a student coming on to the Real Talk for Real People Show, and thank you, and I international students, your numbers are increasing, meaning that you love these studies, and they are, I suspect, making an impact upon your lives. So thank you, universal students, in an international scale. The numbers in Japan are increasing, and the numbers in Canada, I believe that was Australia, I'm not sure, so I don't want to say it, because I don't like to make guesses and so on and so forth. That's, I suspect that's why you come on to the show. Cartrell and I, we don't like to guess. We like to have it in a neat package and the facts all together, so you can just untie it and get to the bottom of it. Okay. Do what? What do Cartrell and I have any credentials? Do Cartrell and I have some credentials? Yeah, we got them. We're born into it. Okay, blood in, blood out. So we have credentials. No, we didn't get it from one of your fine universities. Cartrell has some form of education as far as fine universities of you guys, but his word of Yah came simply from Yah, just like it comes from the Yom Suf. Yes, I've had a little bit of college credits, but for the most part, my credentials come from the Almighty, as all of us, when we do our research and study. And the Most High give us wisdom and understanding. All the wisdom and understanding that we need, those are our credentials. Thank you for asking. Getting back to the contemporary subject commentaries. As you know, I've been intently watching the trial of Chauvin in regards to our brother Floyd. I've been watching that spaghetti defense. I found out that from their so-called expert, and that Brother Floyd could have died from the exhaust pipe of the police car, where he placed his head and put his hand behind his back and rest easily. I found out the chewing gum in Brother Floyd's mouth was a magical peel that simply disappeared, just like Lucky Charms. I found out so much by this spaghetti defense. I'm left with one thought in mind, as far as universal white race supremacists are concerned. They never cease to amaze me. That's why I study them too, day by day, year by year, because their curriculum often changes day by day and year by year. And yes, the woman that killed the young brother, Brother Wright, and I think Brooklyn City or something, has been indicted. Third-degree murder for the young brother, and so she should. Dead is dead, no matter how you come about being dead, accident or not, and you're responsible. You ought to bear some responsibility. Oops, I'm sorry, they're dead. No, there's no responsibility. No, it don't work that way, especially in our land. Mistake or not, they're dead, and there's consequences and repercussions. It's just the way it is. So you need to be much more serious when it comes to interaction with people. Police officers, each other, and so on and so forth. All righty. So I'm going to bring my brother and Prenome, Cartrell, with his excellent credentials from the Most High. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. You and Micah's heart. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Mm-hmm. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Brother Yasuf Ari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. I appreciate it. And may it bless your family also, brother.
Toda Rabah, thank you very much. Definitely appreciate that. We all need blessings from the Most High worldwide.
Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate it.
People want to know our credentials.
Yeah, we don't have a doctor of divinity, a PhD of divinity, or whatnot.
Do you know that Elijah Muhammad had a fourth grade education?
Hey, bro, I do not pay attention to those people. Thank you, are infused by wisdom and understanding of Yah, that he gives you a plaque to put on the wall. Okay, this is an ever study research. There will be no placards given to be put on the wall to say you know everything about Yah. It just doesn't work that way. So whatever credentials they may or may not be wanting, who cares? As long as we're pleasing to the Creator, it's all that matters, because anything else doesn't matter, because it doesn't mean anything.
Did the people we're reading about have any credentials?
Yeah, did they go to Stanford, Harvard?
And in our schools, did they talk about the people we're reading about?
They don't have Stanford and Harvard on their walls.
Gotcha. And when you go to their schools, they don't talk about Moses or Joshua or King Saul or Ahab or Jephthah or Shimshon or Deborah or Esther or Ruth. They don't teach that in Western universities, do they?
Unless
you go to theological school.
Contrail, let me explain something to you, brother. Universal right race supremacy says this. We own everything, we control everything, and we dictate everything. And if we ain't gave you no papers to talk about Yah, you ain't saying nothing. And y'all better not listen to them. That's what it says.
And you know what the Native Americans said about universal white racist supremacy?
Speaks with a forked tongue.
Yeah. They lie all the time.
Exactly.
They don't have authority over the Most High, do they?
Well, they certainly try to exercise their authority over him.
I'm going to tell you the credentials that we got based on the Most High.
Okay.
How old are you?
I will be 65 in October.
And I'll be 65 in September, which makes us officially certified elders. That's our certification. We elders
Amen.
In Israel.
Amen.
That's all we need, that certification. Amen. And if you're reading right along with us, elders Amen. Had a lot of authority within the nation. And their
exactly.
only credentials were that they were elders. But I'm going to tell you my credentials here. I've been to college. I got 32 credits, college level credits. I studied mm-hmm. political science. I wanted to be a professor, which mm-hmm. didn't want this. Which didn't work out, you know, the way I wanted it to.
Right.
But I wound up being a carpenter, union carpenter, and joiner, mm-hmm. shop steward in New York City, building towers for the universal white racist supremacist downtown Manhattan.
Bring it
While
down.
I was doing that.
Bring them down, Paul.
I was taught from the time I was born that I was an Israelite. So my father taught me, my family taught me, all of my family knew we were Israelites. We didn't grow up being called black, Negro, colored, African-American, Democrat, Republican, none of that. I knew from birth that we were Israelites. So from the time of my birth, from the time I was able to have cognitive recognition, able to read and write, I studied the history of my people. So I've studied for at least 54 years. I'm 64, good, maybe 65. So I've been studying since I was like 10 years old, who we are. But enough on that.
Hey, let me tell y'all something. He's damn good at it too. Okay. Me, I'm just young too.
I hope they appreciate what little information I can share with them, Because right. I ain't trying to boast myself up like I'm, you know, some kind of Dr. Fauci or, you know, some,
right.
you know, high-level intellectual Israelites. We
right.
going through this together. We studying. We researching. And it's just basic study and research. And we're trying to uncover the truth about ourselves together. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And if you can show me where I'm wrong, I will improve.
And that's the way we do it here in this study session. We're in these study sessions. It doesn't stop till the casket drops. Okay.
And there's nobody out there teaching us about us. You can
exactly.
run with that Black History Month, Dr. Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks stuff if you want to. But we're digging a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah, way beyond these borders before I arrive here.
Yes.
Okay. Way
Absolutely.
Beyond these borders. Something that they have left out of your study session before you became black.
Negro, colored,
yeah.
African-American. Baptist, born Baptist bred. You're going to be a Baptist till you're dead.
Yeah, way before way, way before. Right. All right, y'all. Thank you, Cottrell, my brother.
But as far as commentary on witness today, he got flipped again. The prosecutors flipped this dude again. He turned them into their asset. This guy, I mean, you could feel his racism when
yeah.
he sat down. And you pick a witness from South Africa in a volatile case like this? How dare you? The brother that questioned him, that was psychological
right.
warfare.
Man,
yeah,
where did
they didn't send the
he
big. They didn't send the big.
He could
they didn't send the lady, and they didn't send the other gentleman. They sent the brother. And the brother, calm, cool, and collectively, credited the doctor.
Made him out of liver, chopped him up. And look at that cocktail. That brother had that dude discombobulated. You know what? He reminded me, y'all, and this may sound ugly. You know the Planet of the Apes, that little monkey that Caesar and his other fella run into when they was, and the little girl that couldn't speak, that little monkey that was trying to steal their stuff. He reminded me of that little monkey on the Planet of the Apes. Said, no. No, because basically, all the time that brother would chop him up, I could see that little monkey in my mind's eye. No, no. I knew I shouldn't have said it, but I did, okay? I have a sense of humor, okay?
All right. But we've been fighting that ever since we've been on these shores, because Planet of the Apes in truth is their depiction of us. They see us as less than human, three-fifths of human beings.
Right.
And they don't want us to take over the planet because we
right.
more throughput, we multiply a little bit more. We like Bebe's kids, you know. We just
yep.
multiply, and they
yeah,
can't stop
why,
that trend.
That's why they made that movie, Cartrell.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. So
he's supposed to be
what
the
you're saying is throwing it back on them, but they
right.
tell you that they come from ape, right? Darwin's theory of evolution. They say human beings come from ape. No, y'all stick with that theory. We know where we come from. We come from the
well,
dust of the earth, and the Most High
well,
created us and breathed the breath of life into us.
Well, I'm just going to say this, and I think whoever is closer to apes, this will apply to them. If you shave an ape's skin, that's his skin color. If you shave a hair off an ape, that is not the color of an ape, his hair. If you shave the hair off an ape, also, they got little bitty peckers. And they steal everything they put their hand on. Well, whoever that applied to, that applies to. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay? I'm done.
And we know that Jacob was smooth. Jacob wasn't hairy. Esau was hairy, but Jacob was smooth.
Exactly.
That's all I
all
have
right.
to say about that.
That's all we got to say about that. All right, y'all. We're going to get into our studies. Chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. May the Most High bless us by the study, intense burning midnight or study of his word, and most importantly after that, the application of said word. Samuel said to King Saul, I am the one the Elohim sent to anoint you, K, king over his people Israel. Therefore, listen to Yah's command. Thus said the Elohim of hosts, I am exacted penalty for what Amalek did to Israel, for the assault he made upon them on the road on their way up from Mizraim. Now, go attack the Amalek and prescribe all that belong to him. Spare no one, but kill or lack men, women, infants, sucklings, oxen, sheep, camels, and ass. Kill every damn thing. King Saul mustered the troops and enrolled them at Tilim. 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Yehuda. When King Saul advanced as far as the city of Amalek and laid in wait at the Wadi, King Saul said to the Kenites, come, withdraw at once from the Amalekites, that I may not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they left Mizraim. So the Kenites withdrew from among the Amalekites. King Saul destroyed Amalek from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is close to Mizraim. He captured King Agag of Amalek alive. He go making mistakes again. He prescribed all the people, putting them to the sword. But King Saul and the troops spared Agag, King Agag, and he was told to destroy everyone. And also, in addition, the best of the sheep, the oxen, the secondborn, the lambs, and all else that was of value. They would not prescribe them. They prescribed only what was cheap and worthless. They want to get at the Yah, the junk. But they kept the goodies. The word of the Elohim came to Samuel. I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned away from me and has not carried out my commands. Samuel was distressed, and he entreated the Elohim all night long. Early in the morning, Samuel went to meet King Saul. Samuel was told King Saul went to Carmel, where he erected a monument for himself. Oh, he was eager to run amok. Then he left and went up on down to Gilgal. When Samuel came to King Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Elohim. I fulfill Yah's command. That was a lie. Then what, demanded Samuel, is the bleeding of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen that I hear? King Saul answered, they were bought from the Amalekites, for the troops spared the choices of the sheep and oxen for sacrificing to the Elohim, Yah, your Elohim. And we prescribed the rest. We took the rest. Samuel said to King Saul, stop, just stop it. Let me tell you what Yah said to me last night. King Saul, he replied, speak, he replied. And Samuel said, you may look small to yourself, but you are head of the tribes of Israel. See, the Most High did a psychoanalysis of King Saul. You may be small in your own mind. You may look small to yourself in your own mind. But you, I put as a head of the tribes of Israel. The Elohim anointed you king over Israel. And Yah sent you on a mission. And he told you, go and prescribe the sinful Amalekites. Make war on them till you have exterminated them. Why did you disobey the Elohim and swoop down on the spoils and defiance of Yah's will? King Saul said to Samuel, but I did obey Yah, just lying. I performed the mission which God sent me. I captured, he said, kill everybody. And this is a lie. I captured King Agag of Amalek. I prescribed Amalek. He didn't tell you prescribe Amalek. He told you destroy everybody. And then he wanted to put it on the troops. And the troops took from the spoils some sheep and oxen, the best of what had been prescribed, to sacrifice to Yah, your Elohim at Gaga. But that ain't what Yah told you to do, player. King, Samuel said. Let me tell you something. And he's telling this to King Saul. But it applies to all of us. Does Yah delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as much as obedience to Yah's command? You tell me. Surely obedience is better than sacrifice. Compliance than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of damnation, just like witchcraft. Defiance is like the iniquity of a teraphim. Because you rejected Yah's command, he has rejected you as king. That's consequences and repercussions. King Saul said to Samuel, you're right. I did wrong to transgress Yah's command. And it ain't the first time, students. But I was afraid of the troops. That's my excuse. I yield to them, but you the king. Yah's put you in place. Please forgive my offense and come back with me, and I will bow low to Yah. Samuel said to King Saul, I will not go back with you, for you have rejected Yah's command, his instructions, and Yah has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, King Saul seized the corner of his robes and tore it. And Samuel said to him, Yah has this day torn the kingship over Israel away from you and have given it to another who is worthier than you. Moreover, the glory of Israel does not deceive or change his mind. No matter if Israel is winning or losing, it's not going to change his mind. You know why it's not going to change his mind, King Saul and some of you out there? For its compliance and obedience to Yah's word, he is not human that he should change his mind. Yah don't change from the day to the morrow to the next day just because some of y'all change. Just because some of y'all want to ask Astera or Balaam or follow other teachers or go to other new books. Yah ain't fickle like that because you want to go to a New Testament. You want to go to Astaroth. You want to go to Balaam. Yah is the same way today, tomorrow, and forever. Yah is the same Yah at the beginning of our studies and at the end of our lives. Yah is the same Yah forever and a day. And he demands obedience and compliance over burnt offerings and sacrifices. Obedience and compliance. And how do you obey and comply? You obey and comply what Yah has left written for you to obey and comply, not leaning to your own understanding. Not doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, just because you want to do it. That would not suffice. It never has, and it never will. Because why? Yah is not human. He's not fickle like that. Not like us. And it goes on to read, but King Saul pleaded, I did wrong. Please honor me in the presence of the elders, as Katriel said, had power of my people, and in the presence of Israel. Come back with me, until I bow low. It's too much, too little, too late, King Saul. To Yah, your Elohim. What about yours, King Saul? So Samuel followed Saul back. King Saul back. King Saul bowed to Yah. Samuel said, because he didn't do what he's supposed to do. Now look at it. This is a priest. This is a seer. This is a man of Yah. But what did he say? Bring forward to me King Agag of Amalek. Agag knew what was up, because he knew there was a righteous man that was in compliance and obedience to Yah. King Agag approached him with faltering steps, hesitant steps. And King Agag said, "Ah, bitter death is at hand. Oh, I know what's about to go down now. He's a righteous man of Yah. He is compliant and obedient. And whatever Yah told him to do it, he's going to do it without hesitation, a question, that hesitation or any reservation." And he knew that.
What does your book say? Because my book reads different.
He said, Samuel said, "Bring forward to me King Agag of Amalek." King Agag approached him with faltering steps. And Agag said, "Ah, bitter death is at hand." What does yours read, Cottrell?
It says, Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." Meaning he thinking he going to get out of it because he see the old man.
He thought he was going to get back. He thought he was going to get a pass. All right. And Samuel said to him, "As your sword have bereaved women, made women widows, so shall your mother be bereaved among women because of you." Because what I'm about to put down on you. Because you reap what you sow. And Samuel cut Agag down before Yah at Gaga. Samuel then departed from Ramah, and King Saul went up to his home, Gabbeth of Saul. But let me tell you something. Let me tell y'all something. See, King Saul thinks he got a pass. Ain't nothing changed. The Almighty says, whether Israel win or lose, it's not going to change the dynamics of what's going to go down with you. And Samuel, the seer, the prophet, only went with him because he begged him to go with him. But that wasn't going to change anything. Because Yah said, "I don't change. I don't care if you got a New Testament, an Old Testament, a Testament beside the Testament. You got a Testament upside down, downtown, left to the right, right to the left. I don't care what kind of Testament you got. I'm Yah. I don't change. I'm not human. I'm not fickle." Yet that's what they tell you, now, don't they? But that ain't what he's saying. That's not what Yah is saying. And some of you like to set up altars, places that you don't know what you're doing. Some of you like to proclaim that you're Levites and priests, and you're making burnt offerings and offerings of well-being. You don't know what you're doing. Yah tells you this: compliance and obedience is better than burnt offering and sacrifices. I'd rather for you to comply and obey me than to be setting up altars here and doing this and that and the other just because you want to. Because King Saul, and surely, fellow students, if you're into that, it's going to cost you too. Go ahead, Cottrell.
King Saul was kind of ahead of his time, wasn't he?
Wasn't he though, brother? Just like we are. Just like we are.
But there's so many important things in this chapter, and you pretty much talked about a few of them. The 29th verse says that the Most High is not a man. God is not a man.
Right.
Let's go back to that real quick. It says, also the strength of Yisrael, our nation, will not lie nor repent. Now, what's important about that?
Right.
Because we have to know that the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the strength of our nation. Whether
exactly.
You're king, whether you're priest, whether you're prophet, whether you judge, it doesn't matter. The Most High is our strength. And it doesn't matter how big, how great, how mighty the enemy is, who fights our battle for us?
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, the Elohim, Almighty.
King Saul trying to get credit. He sets up a monument for himself.
Exactly.
How could you not give honor and praise to the Most High Yah when you were outnumbered by the Philistines and by the power of Yah through your son put them on the run? It wasn't you, you know, because how are you going to take credit? First of all, you should have gave credit to your son. And before you gave credit to your son, you should have gave it to the Most High. That would have shown his humility, right? But he's setting up a monument for himself. And once he realized that the prophet wasn't pleased with him because Yah wasn't pleased with him. Yeah, the buzz boys is out. Once he realized that the Most High and the prophet wasn't pleased with him, he offers burnt sacrifice and offerings to try to appease Yah, but it's too late by then. And him trying to repent, it was too late and without real sincerity. But Yah gave him a second chance, didn't he? He said, I'm sending you on a mission to destroy Amalek for what they did back in the time when we first came out of Egypt. So he's giving him a second chance, right?
Right.
All you got to do is obey what Yah tell you to do. And who is Amalek? Amalek is our brother Esau, right?
Right.
So he told the king Saul to destroy Amalek like they did Jericho. Destroy them and don't touch any of their stuff. What happened at Jericho?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody touched the stuff at Jericho and it cost the whole nation in the next battle.
Okay.
So we knew that King Saul knows his history because he allowed the Kenites to leave before he went to war with Amalek, right?
Exactly.
Said, y'all lose because we made a vow with y'all back in the days when we first came into the land. So he knows the history, right?
Right.
If you know the history, then you're supposed to know about Jericho and Joshua and people touching stuff that Yah say don't touch.
Exactly.
Right? You brought the king back, cattle and the sheep, and Yah didn't tell you to do that.
And
you thought that was going to be pleasing to
Yah. But when we were reading the second born, well, he's talking about the second born of all the sheep or the second born of those people, too.
I'm not clear. I don't know.
Yeah, and I was kind of stupefied
at
that.
What verse is that?
And what, you know, he brought everything back, the sheep, the oxen,
took the spoil, sheep and ox, the chief of the thing, which would have been utterly destroyed, which should have been utterly destroyed. And they brought that back to do what? To sacrifice unto Yah in Gilgal. The Most High didn't tell him to bring that stuff to sacrifice to him.
But he told the king what to do. And the only thing the king had to do was tell his people what to do.
Right.
But he didn't do it.
And what they did, the Most High said, is equivalent to witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're doing right by me, in your own heart, you think bringing these offerings back, but I told you don't bring nothing back. And here you is bringing it back. Here you are bringing it back to make as an offering to me when I tell you to destroy it.
Exactly.
So we don't listen. We are hard-headed, stiff-necked people. And we're going to do it our way or we're going to get burnt by Yah.
Oh, no way.
And then, again, we see how flawed in character King Saul was because he's trying to blame the people. Well, the people made me do it. No, you can't. You're the king. We read yesterday he was ready to kill his son because he ate some honey.
Exactly.
Now all of a sudden the people got control of you. But the people did tell him, nah, you're not killing Jonathan, didn't they?
No,
that crazy oath you made, you're not killing this man right here. Because he's the one that got the victory. So he was probably scared of the people.
Right. We're not having any parts in that one.
But he was so caught up in himself when he was trying to make an excuse as to why he did what he did. The prophet Samuel tells him to stop, shut up. I don't even want to hear no more.
But you know what, Contrail? I like
and
when
he
y'all...
goes on to say, go ahead and speak. He's still speaking. Right. He says, just shut up when he tells you to shut up.
Yeah. But you know what, Contrail? I like the part when y'all had instructed Samuel. So you may be small in your own eyes.
Samuel told actually King Saul.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was instructed to tell King Saul that you may be small in your own eyes. Okay? But when I tell you to do something, you better man up. Basically. Go ahead, Kadriel.
Well, Samuel was humble in the beginning. I mean, King Saul was humble in the beginning, right?
Exactly.
Now, like you said, it's ego run amok. You can't put an Israelite brother in a position of power because then they lose visions for some reason. So that's why Yah has to choose a ruler over our people, because for some reason, when our people get power, it goes straight to their head. They forget. They become blind to everything. Now it's all about him. It's not about Yah. And we can see that.
We've seen this often, Cartrell, in captivity for some of these so-called leaders, and even among our awoken brothers, we've seen that, okay? So you're quite right, Cartrell. You're quite right.
And the fact that the Most High told King Saul that he would not be king and he would not, you know, have anybody to sit on his throne, that's not quite a bad sentence. He didn't say, I'm going to kill you. You're going to surely die. Being a king is a tough job. You just wasn't qualified. You just wasn't cut out. That's not a bad, you know, judgment. You just didn't do it right.
But, Godre,
here's humility. Huh?
Yeah, well, herein lies our problem. No humility, Cartrell. And instead of being humble, we seem to double down and make matters worse, okay?
And you're going to see that's exactly what he does. As we go along, he's going to double down and make matters worse. That's why Yah said, I regret that I made King Saul king.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something similar to that back in Noah's time. It grieves me that I made man, because man is evil from his youth. So he's saying basically the same thing in King Saul. He's giving King Saul his power. Remember, he gave him prophetic power even before he came king. Oh, is that Saul prophesying with the prophets? And he was. And the spirit of Yah was with him. All he had to do was follow simple instructions, not complicated, not something that he couldn't do, but he chose to do it his way and not complete the full assignment that Yah had given him. Each and every time Yah told him to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So we the same way. We're going to do it our way. So we think that offerings and sacrifices and holy days are pleasing to Yah when we're not obedient. But we offered you sacrifices. We observed Passover. We did Shabbat. We did this and that. But Yah's looking at your heart and whether you're going to obey what he's telling us to do. And a lot of us are not obeying what Yah told us to do while we're in captivity, because many of us don't know what Yah told us to do while we're in captivity, in order to escape captivity. But we read it. We went through the prophets.
Exactly.
Return to me with all your heart, soul, and might. Repent for your fathers, what they did. Repent for what you're doing. Gather your people together. Help your people.
Exactly.
And
be
we
supportive.
Ain't not doing none of that.
Be supportive. Love on each other. Help each other out. Don't prostitute each other. Don't kill each other. Don't mistreat each other. Don't abuse each other. Don't dominate each other. But we can't do that.
Put away the idols of the nation. Mm-hmm. Teach your children diligently. Love your brother as yourself. Take care of the poor, the needy, the fatherless, and the widow. Separate yourself from the nation. But we all up in the mix. We integrate.
Well, therein lies a lack of study. Because if they study Katriel, they would realize Mordecai and Queen Esther. I read nothing about them doing sacrifices and whatnot. The people.
Offerings.
No, I didn't read none of that in our studies of that. Okay?
Matter of fact, we read they had to hide their identity, that they were Israelites.
Exactly.
Don't tell them you're Israelites.
Right. And I didn't read what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing sacrifices and whatnot. I didn't read none of that, Cartrell.
As a matter of fact, they had to ask the king permission not to eat the food that they were required to eat. And out of all the nation of Israel that was in Babylon, only four of them made that request.
Right.
So,
therein lies a lack of
just pray to the Most High on a daily basis and wouldn't worship the God of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in the fire. We know the prophet Daniel got thrown in the lion's den.
Exactly.
Why? because they were trying to do what Israelites supposed to do while they was in captivity. And it was at the cost of their lives. It didn't matter to them. We're going to serve God. We're not going to serve your God. And we're not going to eat your food. If it costs our life, so be it.
They were on the right path to recovery. Unlike some of us, voices, because of lack of study, Kytrell. The lack of study, and we keep pushing this. I mean, you can't obey and comply if you don't study. You don't, because you don't know what to obey and comply for your lack of study.
Do you need credentials?
No, but you want to get on food book. Some of the sisters, you know what I saw yesterday in passing, Kytrell, on food book. Some Hebrew sisters said, you Israelite men, y'all need to shut y'all mouth and so-and-so whatnot. I said, whoa, I looked at it for me. And I looked to see what she, a country's Hebrew. I said, yeah. I said, well, not two countries. I said, come on, man. Food book ain't the place for everything. Okay? Come on now. The way some of you sisters talk to the brother in the public forum among other nations is despicable. And the way some of you brothers talk to the sisters on food book in front of other nations is despicable. Because of your lack of study. You think you can do anything, say anything to anybody. Some of your young sisters running up to elders on food book talking like you a man. Talking like you an elder. Come on now. Y'all need to get your fundamentals right. That's all the thing I'm going to tell you. Get your fundamentals right, okay? I'm sorry, Kajay. Go ahead, my brother.
No, but you're absolutely right. Because hypothetically, what if the Most High raises up someone like Othniel or Ehud or Shamgar? What would the sister say to those brothers? Or what would the brothers say to a sister if the Most High raised up somebody like Deborah? How about the sisters with Gideon and Tola and Jaizan and Elion and Abdon? How about Shimshon? What would you have said to him?
Mm-hmm.
And these are men that were inspired of the Most High. So we better be careful what we say out of our mouths, because brothers better respect sisters, and sisters better respect brothers.
And that's why we said, Kytrell, in our studies by Kytrell presented the study, this in-depth study in the book of Proverbs, be slow to speak and quick to listen. Get your essentials and your fundamentals right, okay? Be slow to speak. Go ahead, Kytrell.
So even under the edict that the kingship would be taken away from him, still can't see it, because he's asking Samuel, come with me to honor me in front of the elders and in front of the people. Like, come on, man. Come on. But the Most High was merciful to him, because he allowed King Saul to rule Israel for at least 25 more years.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you, Kytrell.
You can see that the elder Samuel, I'm sorry, was no joke. He's an elder, right? But he wasn't afraid to take that king out, was he?
No, he cut Agag down like he broke him down like a shotgun.
And do you think that shocked the people when they saw that old man do that to him?
I'm probably sure they. Some of them probably said what Ima Hadura says, huh? I'm pretty sure, Kytrell. It shook some of them up. Yeah.
A lot of them was dumbfounded.
Yeah. Okay, Kytrell.
Because that's what he should have done. Making all these excuses, and the king is still standing there. Oh, the Amalekites. I tell you to kill them. Oh, you got the king right here standing in my face.
Yeah. Tell me, come on up here. I'll take care of this.
And he thought he had an out card. Oh, here come the old man. He got wisdom. He going to show mercy. It's like, nah, this is what the king should have did to your butt.
Exactly.
You many people motherless, childless. Your mother's going to be childless today.
She will bereave over you today. All right. Thank you, Cartrell. Fellow students, I neglected to mention chapter 35, but I'm going to conclude. I'm going to include 35 with beginning with
35.
Verse 35. Excuse me, Cartrell. Verse 35 of 15, but I will include verse 35 of 15 with chapter 16. Okay? And this is important. Samuel never saw King Saul again to the day of his death. There's a reason why that. Because Yah didn't send him to him again. But
he
Samuel
wasn't listening anyway.
I know it. But even that being said, we need to have a little bit of compassion toward one another, Cartrell. A little bit of more empathy, unlike some of us today. But even that being said, Samuel grieved over King Saul because Yah regretted that he made King Saul king. He didn't rejoice. He didn't have a party like some of us do. He didn't laugh and belittle and go talk behind his back. He felt sorry for King Saul.
He knew that King Saul had great potential.
Yeah, he saw he had great potential. And he felt sorry for him. He grieved.
He loved him. He ain't just feel sorry for him. He loved the guy.
Exactly. Unlike some of how we ought to love each other, Christ. Right?
Yep.
And Yah said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over King Saul since I rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and set out. Okay? Do what need to be doing. He said, fill your horn with oil, that anointing oil.
Okay.
That anointing oil. And said, I got work for you to do. You can't be around here laying under the covers and feeling sorry for King Saul. I got work for you to do. Fill your horn with that anointing oil and set out. I got work for you. I'm sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehem mite. For how can I go? If King Saul hears me, he will kill me. Everybody has trepidation, even a great man like Samuel. Yah answered.
And a man is still king. Most I didn't take his kingship immediately. He's still king.
Right. And Yah answered, take a heifer with you. And I will come and say, I've come to sacrifice. Let me give you a diversion. And say, I've come to sacrifice to Yah. Invite Jess to the sacrificial feast. And then I will make known to you what you shall do, instructions. And you shall anoint for me the one I point out to you. Samuel did what Yah commanded. When he came to Bethlehem, the elders of the city went out and alarmed to meet him. Oh, what, Samuel come here? Something ain't right. Oh, Lord. And said, did you come on a peaceful errand? Yes, he replied.
They just saw him kill that king. They hacked him up. This dude is violent.
And they got a bit of trepidation going on. What? Oh, you? Anybody did nothing wrong, is it? Yeah, I've come on a piece of error. Yes, he replied. I've come to sacrifice this diversion to Yah. Purify yourself and join me in the sacrificial feast. He also instructed Jesse and his sons to purify themselves and invite them to the sacrifice. You got to clean up. You got to wash up, bathe, and everything. Change clothes, get yourself together. We've studied that. We've read that. When they arrived, they saw Eliab. He thought, surely Yah's anointed stands before him. But Yah said to Samuel, pay no attention to the appearance of his stature. Don't be looking on the outside. For I've rejected him. Don't be looking at folks on the outside. You don't know what's in the inside. For not as man sees, does Yah see. Man don't look at a man. Yah don't look at a man from the outside. He looks at a man or a woman from the inside. A man sees only what is visible, but Yah sees the heart, the core of a man, the core of a woman. And Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass before Samuel. But he said, Yah has not chosen this one either. Now Jesse presented Shamaiah. And again, Yah has not chosen this one either. Then Jesse presented seven of his sons before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, Yah has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the boys you have?" And he replied, "There is still the youngest. He's tending the flocks, young fellow." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send someone to bring him, for we will not sit down to eat until he gets here." So they sent and brought him. He was a ruddy cheek, bright at it, just like most of us are. You don't know what ruddy is? Look in the mirror. You'll see what ruddy is. Ruddy cheek and bright eyed and handsome. And Yah says, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." Samuel took the horn of anointing oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the spirit of Yah gripped young David. From that day on, Yah was upon him. Samuel then set out for Ramah. Now the spirit of Yah had departed from King Saul, and an evil spirit from the Elohim began to terrify him. Saul's courage said to him, "An evil spirit of Yah is terrifying you. Let our Lord give the order. The chorus in attendance of you will look for someone who is skilled in playing a lyre. Whenever the evil spirit of Yah comes over you, he will play it and you will feel better." So Saul said, King Saul said to his couriers, "Find me someone who can play well and bring him to me." One of the attendants spoke up, "I've observed a young son, a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, they're from Bethlehem, who is skilled in music. He's got skills. He's a stalwart fellow and a warrior. And he built up and he's a warrior. He's sensible in speech. He's got good speech. He's got common sense and handsome in appearance. And Yah is with him." Whereupon Saul sent messages to Jesse to say, "Send me your son Dawood, who is with the flock." Jesse took an ass laden with bread, a skin of wine, and a kid, and sent him to King Saul by his son Dawood. So the reason why I'm calling him Dawood, because he's not king yet. So Dawood came to King Saul and entered his service. King Saul took a strong liking to him, made him one of his arm bearers. King Saul sent word to Jesse, "Let Dawood remain in my service, for I'm pleased with him." Whenever the evil spirit of Yah came upon King Saul, Dawood would play the lyre and play it. Dawood would take the lyre and play it. King Saul would find relief and feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. There are there evil spirits? Well, what do you think? Is it on some of us? What do you think? Cottrell, what say you on the subject matter?
Some people call that mental illness, right?
Yeah, yep.
And they've done studies how music soothes people with mental illness, right? So we can see that here.
Exactly.
That right. Even in these times that they knew that this was kind of a solution. And you know how we do music. Our music really touches the soul, especially
right.
If you can sing. You think King Saul would have called you to sing before him to soothe his soul up? No. I'm just playing.
Who, me? Why you gotta hate on me, man? Why I gotta be the bad guy? Yeah, stop hating on me, man. Stop hating on me.
Nah, we need to talk about people with skills, man, real skills.
Hey,
King David.
I'd have gave my best Gregory Porter. Brown eye, brown grass.
You might have made him more mad.
You know, Cottrell, I'd have gave my best a great reporter. Brown grass.
Me? I wouldn't even try to that. I'd say, Mr. Evo King, I can't sing.
You wrong with that, cause you hurt my feelings, man.
Nah, man, I know we're meant to do that. Nah,
you got on your Yahoo last night.
But you see how he came on, man. He picked up your vibe, man.
right away. Come on, singing.
He came on singing, didn't he? But you know what, Cottrell? King Dawood, he could play a mean guitar, couldn't he? He was just like Jimi Hendrix.
With the Jackson 5 behind him.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, a lyre, brothers and sisters, if you don't know, it's a string instrument. And David could play it. And man, could he play it. And had a beautiful voice, you know. And he wanted to hear it. And when King Dawood would play that lyre, he would put that Jimi Hendrix and double fanning and hitting it. King, ooh, that boy could play. Ooh-wee. He laid back and he was steering left. Ooh-wee. That boy could play. Ooh-wee.
Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing like a live concert. We got, you know, radio.
I can see David. I can see David in my mind, that boy. He concentrated hitting them notes, man, and blowing them notes. Ooh, King David like, boom, boom, boom. King David playing, bro. He playing them notes.
And all of this, you can see how the Most High orchestrates the lives of people, because there's no way possible. No way possible. King David goes from the position of being a shepherd straight to the palace right after he gets anointed. Now,
exactly.
In the anointing process, right?
Right.
You see how the story plays out, right?
Right.
Samuel, the prophet, comes to the town of Bethlehem to see Jesse and his son.
Right. Right.
And what do they have to do? They have to clean themselves up and get ready, because the prophet, one of the most important men in the nation, if not the most important man in the nation besides the king, is coming to see y'all, right?
Exactly.
Who wasn't invited to the party? David, King David. He out still with the sheep. Should he have been there initially?
Right. Yeah,
he should have been there initially, right?
Right. He was out there with the sheep. He ain't know about no party going on.
And they didn't regard him as significant, did they?
Right, because the first man sort of Jesse, who he thought was Ahimnath or something like that, and he thought, looking through his eyes, he thought, oh, that's the one. He must have been a good-looking fellow, too, very tough-looking guy. And he assumed, made the assumption, idea, oh, that's the one. And Yah said, no, that ain't the one. Keep on looking. And he sent for several more. And finally, he went through all the seven sons, and he said, "You ain't got no more boys." Yeah, I got a little boy, little teenager out there. He ain't got nothing. He out there with the flock, man. He ain't no man. He's a teenager. Well, send for him. And I go, we ain't gonna eat until he come. I need to see him. And then, you know, that being said, when King Dawood came, let's assume that he had to clean himself up too, take a quick bath, put on new clothes and whatnot. So they waited a good while now, King Dawood, to clean himself up, because there's no way that Jesse was going to let him approach the prophet without getting himself clean for that sacrifice of peace, okay? So it took a little while for King Dawood, or what, Dawood at the time, to get himself together, take a quick bath and get him some new rags on and come on up. So, as Cottrell said, and I concur with him, Yah moves things behind the scenes that we can never see, even in our very own lives.
And I'm sure they didn't understand what was going on.
No, they didn't. They had no idea. Why is this? Why do you want to see all our son? My son, what's going on? And he looked at all of them and said, no, he don't want one of them. Like, what he want Dawood for? But I can't argue with him. He's family prophet. You know, he's not already cut down King Agin, and I don't want no trouble. Somebody go out there and get David. Tell him to get his clothes together, wash up, and let that quick bath, and change clothes and come on up here. Yeah.
And the prophet, how many people did he pour the oil on?
Only one.
Only one.
Only one. The one that
everybody cannot receive that oil. Everybody cannot. He couldn't test it out. Nope. He had to know the one, and y'all told him the one, didn't he?
Exactly.
And he was the only one, wasn't he?
Everybody can't be anointed with that old car. I don't know why all these people making these compounds and trying to play with Yah.
Or running around talking about they anointed.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on now. You don't know what you're playing with. Ain't nothing to play with.
But, yeah, it's very important, you know, that our people know these things. Mm-hmm. Only very few people in our nation were anointed. And mm-hmm. the fact that King Saul was anointed, right?
Exactly.
King David was anointed,
mm-hmm.
right? King Saul was the first Christ or anointed or Mashiach or Messiah. King Saul. Messiah. Not priest Messiah, because there's a mm-hmm. priest Messiah and there's a king Messiah. There's a king Christ and a priest Christ, because Christ is only the name that the Greeks use for anointed.
Right.
And only the high priest and the priests were anointed, and only the kings of Israel were anointed. So the Messiah of Israel, the first king Messiah, is King Saul, and he's a Benjamin. He's not from the tribe of Judah. He's from the tribe of Benjamin.
Right.
How about that? The second king of Israel, young son of Jesse,
mm-hmm.
his brothers were never anointed. He, amongst his brothers, was the only anointed. Why? Because Yah chose him to be what? The next anointed king. All right? So we need to understand these terminology, because we read it in English. Now, that anointing oil is what makes you a Christ or a Messiah. Christ meaning anointed in Greek, and Messiah, Mashiach. Messiah is English. Mashiach is the Hebrew term. Messiah is the English term. Christ is the Greek term for anointed.
Right. And it tells you in that text that Yah was upon him after that appointment.
When he poured that oil from that day forward.
Right.
And the oil that was poured on King Saul, because Yah took away his powers, that same day it departed from him.
Nullified.
Right?
Nullified.
Can't have two kings at the same time. Sorry.
King Saul was nullified. King Dawood was elevated by Yah.
Now we see King Saul beginning to lose his power because he doesn't have Yah as his, you know, first line of defense, his trust, and his guide. Because he hasn't been guided all along. He's doing what he wanted to do.
It seems to me when Yah had departed King Saul, his shortcomings elevated. His mental illness elevated, his bipolar elevated, whatever was going on him elevated, okay?
And look at the sense of humor the Most High got.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put the next king of Israel right beside you to calm you down.
That's cold, Kajra. It's just like he treat me. That's cold.
I see
where you got the sense of humor, though.
I wouldn't want you to go before the king, Ak.
Hmm?
Right? And I know how you think about your singing.
Well, you got it from your daddy. I see where you got your sister. And certainly I do too, Cottrell.
Really?
All right, Cottrell. Cottrell, if
yes,
you're
sir.
Done, we're ready for our last study session. All praises to Yah. And all thanksgiving to him for your, I think, chapter 30 in the book of Proverbs.
Chapter
30. Hey, Katria, you know,
yes,
I called Abby y'all last night. And she said, you trying to be funny? And she said, you know, man, you know, I'd be jazzing with her. And I said, she didn't have to. Something I said, she said, you trying to be funny. I said, no, you know, I've been playing. See, I know where to lead sisters along when they get a little fired, but I know how to go on the rooftop.
Yeah. Believe I'll be out alone, man.
So, woman going to keep me on the rooftop.
Yeah, sometimes we all need to be there just to like collect ourselves.
Exactly.
Tend to rub each other the wrong way. So Proverbs 30 is not a proverb of King Solomon, and the writers of this proverb, we don't particularly know. Al Gore, the words of Al Gore, the son of Yahweh, even a prophecy, the man spake unto Ithal, even unto Ithal of Ukal. I got to find out. I didn't do my research on these brothers here, this brother here, Al Gore. But we're going to see what he got to say. He says, surely I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. This sounds like a confession. I neither learn wisdom nor have knowledge of thy holy, of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou can tell? So that's the big question, right? Because that's what the Christians want to know. And we saw that God is not a man. He's not the Father. He's not the Son and the Holy Ghost combined in one in the flesh. No, Yah don't work that way. And only Yah can bound up waters in a garment and establish the ends of the earth. What is his name? We know his name. And we know his son's name, don't we? Or do we? His name is Yah, and his son's name is Yisrael. And we should be able to answer that question, shouldn't we, based on our study. He says, every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him, something King Saul didn't learn, that Yah should have been his shield. Yah should have been his first line of defense and offense. And we need to learn that ourselves before we put ourselves in the position of King Saul. And thou, not unto his word, add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. So King Saul is pretty much adding to the commandment that Yah given him. He's talking about he did do what Yah told him. But we can see by his actions he didn't do what Yah told him. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. And that should be our request, right? That vanity be removed from us and all lies, because we want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which is what our search is about. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with clothes convenient for me. Just allow me to live. I don't need to be rich. I don't need to be poor. I just need to earn what I am able to earn in my life and enjoy the life that I live. It says, lest I be full and deny thee. Because that's what rich people do. That's what King Saul did. He became full of himself and began to deny Yah and say, who is Yah? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my Yah in vain. So you don't want to be poor and be robbing people and talk about the Most High is with you. Nor do you want to get too full of yourself, like we see in an instance of King Saul. He forgot who Yah was. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. So mind your own business. A servant and his relationship with his master, that's their business. So a lot of people talk about us, and we the servants of Yah, and we curse our accuser. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. I think we hit that generation, Yam Su. Yam Su.
Yes.
This is the generation that cursed their father and does not bless their mother. You think we hit that generation?
I think we've reached it.
And he says, then there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet it is not washed from their filthiness. So we're pure in our own eyes, but we haven't been washed from our filthiness. You think we hit that generation?
Yeah, I think we have.
There's a generation. Oh, how lost are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. You think we hit that generation?
Yeah.
There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. You think we're in that generation?
I think so. By the looks of it.
It says the horse leech has two daughters crying. Give, give. There are three that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not it is not enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that it saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. I think we're in that generation. People mock their father because we got fatherless homes, and people mock our brothers as being deadbeat dads. And they really despise and really don't obey their mothers because their mothers really don't know what to teach them. And you make yourself prey to the ravens and the predators that are out there. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of the serpent upon a rock, the way of ships in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maiden. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth. And she saith, I have done no wickedness. Yeah, that's probably was Potiphar's wife, right? She tried to get Joseph to lie with her, and she lied on Joseph, and he tried to rape her. So she probably was sleeping with some of the other serpents, right? Servants. But she played the innocent role. She's done no wickedness. For three things, the earth is disquieted, and four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigns, and a fool when he is filled with meat. An odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. So things are topsy-turvy when these things occur. And we can see that the earth is in turmoil. And maybe because servants reign and they call themselves leaders of the earth, while at the same time they're destroying it. And fool when he is filled with meat. So you satisfied, but you're still a fool. For an odious woman when she is married. Nobody wants to marry an odious woman because you will be on that rooftop for many days if you stay married to an odious woman. And when a handmaid becomes heir to her that is mistress, now the servants are taking over the property. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ant are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. The conies are but feeble folk, yet they make their houses in a rock. What is your verse say, Op? Because I don't know what a coney is.
So when is my birthday?
On the 26th verse.
Now, said it again, Katrina. I thought you said
My book says the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in rocks. What's your verse say?
The conies?
C-O-N-I-E-S.
Okay. 26. Conies. Well, I use two different Bibles, and it's probably going. Let me look in the Tanakh. Let me turn to that page in Tanakh and see what it says. 30 and what, Katria?
Verse 26.
Okay, 26. Bear with me a few seconds. I'm almost there. Okay, let me put my spectacles on. You know what spectacles is? Store-bought eyeballs. Okay. 26. Okay. 26. The badger is a strong folk without strength, yet it makes its home in the rock. A badger. A rock badger.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's a nickname for a rock badger. Coney? I got to look that up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That's from the Tanakh, Katria.
And what's the other book say? It's got to say badger, too.
Okay, hold Rock on. Back. Bear with me. Let me see the other book. Okie dokie. Okay. La 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 la. La 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 la. Let me put my spectacles back on. 26. The rock badger. It says the rock badger. And this is the New King James Version Study Bible.
Nelson's.
Mm-hmm.
This version is King James, and they got Coney. I guess that's another term for Rock Badger.
Yeah. Well, see, mine is a study version. Mine. A King James Nelson version.
So it goes on to say the locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them by bands. The spider take hold with her hand and is in king's palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely and going. A lion is strong among beasts and turneth not away for any. A greyhound and he goat also, and a king against whom there is no uprising. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, which we see that King Saul did, or if thou hast thought evil, which we see King Saul did as well, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. And we saw the prophet tell him to shut up. But he continued to speak. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Thought nothing, won't be nothing. If you thought something, you know there's going to be something. And you better be ready for the battle. So every action is an equal and opposite reaction. And everything you do has consequences. So it's best to walk the path of righteousness, the path that Yah has laid out for us to walk, as opposed to exploring your own mind, your own way, or the ways of other people. So once again, we give thanks for Yah, to Yah, for the wisdom that he's left us. This is not from King Solomon, but nonetheless, there's wisdom that we can glean from the words of Agor, the son of Yahweh. So even prophecy.
Well, God, the only thing I'm going to say today about that, there's gold in that there hills, as far as Yah's word is concerned. There's gold in that there hills.
Oh, yeah, nugget.
And you know what, Cartrell? I like the part about the spider, because I certainly have a, I can't stand the little sapsuckers running around there, like they paying rent. Yeah, and they're hard to get rid of. But I got a plan for them. And they weren't bad as they were last year. But them spiders, they find a way to get to your house.
You know, a spider saved King David's life, right?
How do you do that, Cartrell?
Oh, we'll get to that. I'm not going to jump ahead in the story. But
come on, man. Don't do it like that.
David's life.
Don't do it like that, man.
Yeah, I'm going to do you like that. Leave you in suspense.
How did
the spider save King David's life?
You know what? Somebody else stole that story, I believe, too. Some other nation stole that story about their king being saved by a spider or something like that.
Well, this is our history, so it's in the books. And the books I don't lie, so.
Well, I'm in 2 Samuel, so I guess I'll run sooner or later.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Keep you guessing, bro. Keep you looking. Keep you searching.
See, I see how you, the way you treated Yim Yahoo. I see why you treat me the same way. All right, y'all. Look here, fellow students. It's been a pleasure for Cartrell and I to bring Yah's words to you. I'm going to ask Cartrell before he leaves, before we go, do we have any closing remarks?
My prayers for justice for George Floyd, for the young brother Wright in the same prison cell in the state of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. I think it's the Brook City or something like that.
Brooklyn, Minnesota.
Right.
I pray for our people worldwide who are under oppression. I pray that Yah hears our cry and that he answers us in our times of need. I pray that this show is increasing understanding and wisdom and knowledge of the Most High Yah, the true creator of the heavens and the earth. We don't know why he chose us or why he's dealing with our drama, but he did in fact choose us. And like King Saul, he's given us the opportunity, a second chance to get it right. And our mission is to try to get it right, to please Yah, our creator, because we all owe him praise, thanks, and honor for the life, the gift of life that he's given all of us. So, hallelujah, praise Yah, the great,
Almighty King of the universe.
Hallelujah. I just like to simply say that I pray that the Most High be with each of you, that he direct and order your paths, that he gives you the mind and the spirit that you need to be devoted to him, to obey him, to trust him, to be compliant with him, so you can have a restoration of your soul.
And I pray understand that we go through this as a nation. I apologize this time.
Right. No problem. And that we learn to treat each other the way y'all would have us to treat each other, to be loving and supportive, even when one of us fall, not to leap for joy, but to have the mindset like Samuel the prophet, even grieve when one of us who may turn on us and become our enemy. Even with King Saul, when Dawood, who will become king, who has become king for all intents and purposes, took no pleasure in usurping King Saul. He took no pleasure, and he said it on countless times. I would not raise my hand against the anointed, your anointed. And so we should have that mindset when it comes to one another. Even if one of us falls, even if the fall is by our own making, we should take no pleasure in it. Just like Samuel the prophet took no pleasure in the fall of our King Saul. We should take no pleasure in the fall of each other. And learn to use your blessing and your curses right. Learn to use it in context of what King Dawood said. He asked Yah. He didn't curse. He said, Yah, bless those that bless me. And curse those that curse. Let you do it. Because you know who to put it on. I don't know. Have that mindset. It'll work for you. That being said, Cottrell and I, we don't know where y'all are going. But we do know this for a certainty. You finna get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. I want to thank my brother and friend, Cartier from New York City. I want to thank you, fellow students, for coming back with us and learning what Yah would have you do to be compliant, to be obedient. Do not offer sacrifices and burn offerings, but to be compliant and obedient. You have to be compliant and obedient. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And I'm going to mellow with Cartier now. Since he said, I can't see, I got some fun, man. Okay? May the Most High bless you. We love you. Shalom and good night. Since he said, I can't see, I got something for you. Shalom and good night.
I didn't want you in front of King Saul trying to sing like King David. That's all.
Shalom.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. A love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. A love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.